This is the Ty Butler Show on 98.7 ESPN.
And we got 1 hour down. 2 more hours to play with on an Easter Sunday. Happy Easter, Resurrection Sunday, to all the people out there. Appreciate y'all listening to the show. It's a beautiful day outside, and you know, you pull up the old weather app, you feel like, oh, it's 60. Maybe it's the foreshadowing of things to come. Nope. Rain on Monday, rain on Tuesday, rain on Wednesday. Then I see the little snowflake icon on Thursday. What's that about? It's supposed to snow on Thursday? So enjoy the sunshine today, because it's not going to last for too long. But happy Easter to everyone out there. Hit me on Twitter, at Ty D. Butler, Instagram, Ty D. Butler. And, of course, these phone lines, 800-919-3776. We're going to talk some NBA. Got the Knicks involved in a big game tonight. But just quickly wanted to mention this. There were some Yankee fans I was following on social media. They see Anthony Volpe out of the lineup. No apparent reason. And, of course, the producers are just super dramatic. They send me that in a text. Volpe out of the lineup. No reason given. ... They want you to get anxiety. But Meredith Marakovic, who does an awesome job for the Yes Network, says that he is out with an illness, scratched from today's lineup. Might be dealing with a stomach bug issue. So he's got the runs. Which obviously is not what you want, but nothing significant. So John Birdie is going to be playing third, batting seventh. And one of the hottest hitters in baseball, Oswaldo Cabrera, is at shortstop, batting ninth. Tom Bauer, happy Easter to you, sir. Oh, he stepped away. Harvey.
Happy Easter to you.
Happy Easter to you. So before we get back to the phone calls, I'm excited about this little journey you've been on, because we've been rapping during the break, and I've been, you know, following you on Instagram. You've lost, what, 11 pounds in the last month?
Essentially 11 pounds in like a month. It's ridiculous.
It's crazy. So, like, were you inspired by, you know, our guy Dave Rothenberg's been on this health and fitness journey? He's dropped some pounds. So he's looking good. So
no,
you want to be up there with Dave?
If you're ever inspired by Dave Rothenberg, you might have to reconsider some things. But
Man, company, y'all listening, that was me. That was Harvey taking shots at Dave.
Love Dave, but how many inspirations are you going through before you get to Dave?
Ooh,
you got me?
At the station. So let's talk about that.
Shots fired.
Let's create a list. How many guys at the station inspire you more than Dave Rothenberg? Like, how many names do we have to go through before we get to Dave Rothenberg?
I got three already on top of my head.
Let me hear them.
Don LaGreca, Heart and Soul Station. Dan Grasso can talk about anything, do anything. And Ty Butler, honestly.
Wow.
Because you are what we call like an up-and-comer.
Up-and-coming.
Yeah, like you're like the prodigy, essentially. Not like the Mobb Deep prodigy, but prodigy.
I like that. So, I mean, is Dave now fourth on your list, or do we got more names we go through before we get to Dave?
No, I can probably give you more names probably than that.
Ah, man, you think we go 10 deep before we get to Dave Rothenberg on the power rankings of who inspires you at the station?
Are we doing just hosts, or can we include some of the producers?
No, it could be producers
as well,
too. I said at the station. It's not limited to just people hosting. It could be producers.
I mean, come on. Anthony Pusick's an inspiration.
It could be my guy Rodney Belizer. It could be
Rodney
Steve.
Rodney Belizer for sure.
It could be Steve Hart working on these commercial logs. Tom, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, Ty. I'm loving this conversation. How are you?
What do you say that we put into... we put into the rotation at the Beach Bash for the K Show,
mm-hmm.
like a face off between the new and improved version of Harvey Cruz and the new and improved version of Dave Rothenberg, where they both have to like take their shirts off on a stage and we judge who's got the better looking body.
Is it sponsored? Is this like a...
I mean, we could get Retro Fitness, the gym I go to sponsor that. That would be a nice little...
love Retro Fitness.
Little thing we do at the Beach Bash. Are you into that, Tom, or no?
I mean, that's must-see. That'll be on TV, too, if it's at the Beach Bash, potentially.
Course.
So that's
the
a
yes
must-see
Networks,
TV right there. Absolutely.
Yeah, Yes Network's going to have all the cameras rolling. You know, people are going to throw it on social media. A body... We can't call it a face-off, because it's not their face. They're both ugly, but we can look at their bodies and see who's got the better body.
Yeah, get NJ Diet on it. They can sponsor
NJ,
too.
NJ Diet. See, we're producing this on the fly. Then Jake Montgomery, you work for the social and the promotions team. Let's cook this up for the Beach Bash.
The loser has to get like better help or something like that.
Ooh, the loser. What happens to the loser? If your body is not deemed to be the best of the two, what happens to the loser? You got to do like a stage dive into the crowd?
We're not trying to hurt people.
I don't know. We got to figure that out. But Tom.
Yes.
No, you were going to say something. What were you going
to
say?
I was going to say you're near the beach at the Beach Bash. So why don't you just take a run to the beach and back and then we'll time you.
So, but that's how we judge who wins?
No. The loser has to take the run. That's what we're saying. It's a punishment.
A punishment. But just running to the beach and back?
I don't know. Maybe you can like belly flop in the ocean or something like that too.
We'll figure that out.
The details need to be ironed out.
It's still the preliminary stages, but I like this, man. A body off between talent and let's not just say talent or host, because producers are talented as well. Let's do a little body off between the talent at the station. So far, we've got Harvey and Dave. Two people who are known to be working on their figures ahead of the summer. It's ab season out here. So people are cutting. Harvey and Dave so far are the first two contestants we are involving in these shenanigans. I
just want to say that this started because of me actually losing weight, because I've got a wedding to go to on late April.
You got a date for this wedding?
I'm sorry?
You got a date for this wedding?
Yeah, but
it's like someone you're in a relationship with?
No, but the point of this was that I was trying to get lean. I kind of look lean. I don't feel lean yet, but I'm still working on it. But yes, it's a good thing. It's good. I feel good.
I like it. I mean, sometimes in your journey, you need different things to motivate you. So you got a wedding coming up and, you know, you got a date. So this date, you guys are not in a relationship.
No.
You're just friends?
Friends. Yep.
Good. You're taking a friend to a wedding? Is that a thing? When you get a plus one, you take a friend, don't you just reserve that for people you're in a relationship with? Or am I just totally off on this?
I don't think you're off. I think it's just whatever you prefer.
Are you attracted to this friend? Oh, radio silence.
Now let me ask a follow up question for Harvey. I'm not going to go into that direction.
I just
want to
know, like, is there a motivation? I mean, let's be honest. Is there a motivation that at the end of this wedding, drinks poured into the system, you're taking this friend home? That's just what I want to know.
I don't drink, but.
Well, drinks in her system.
I don't know.
So, do you feel like this night could end with some type of romantic engagement between you and your friend?
I doubt it.
You doubt it. Is that because of the lack of confidence in yourself, or you guys don't look at each other that way?
Let me press the radio silence button right now.
He feels so uncomfortable because it's all starting to come to me. The reason why you're trying to get in shape is not because you want to impress the people at the wedding. You're taking a friend to this wedding who you want to now see the new and improved version of you and have thoughts of maybe I want to get into a relationship with this guy.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So let's go back to the plus one question that we were talking about.
You're supposed to talk about body weight and competition.
We're all over the place. It's fun. That's the fun of a Sunday show, man. We don't got to do hardcore sports for 3 hours. It's fun. We can take the calls, but we can get into other stuff. What you got for me, Tom?
So the plus one situation, Harvey. So do you and this friend know who's getting married? Because if that's like a plus one situation where you're just friends, I think that's perfectly acceptable.
No, we do know. She's one of my best friends that's getting married. So shout out to her.
Wait, so it's the friend that you're bringing also knows the two people getting married?
She's never met them, but...
Yeah, no,
because
stop.
Because I'm cool with the people.
No, stop it. Stop it. Like, that, come on now. Like, we gotta get to a point where we understand decorum. You realize this wedding party, this wedding couple, spent a lot of money funding this event. And probably paying per plate. So you're bringing someone who you're not romantically involved with, who they don't even know from a hole in the wall, to this wedding, to this event. Come on now, Harvey.
You make it seem
you're doing this wrong, bro.
We could all introduce each other. We could all be friends at the end of the
night. No, that's not how this works. This is an intimate gathering. And if that now we can go through like moments where you know, we can be accepting of you bringing a partner to the wedding, and it's based on like how romantically involved, like if you're engaged or if you're married, maybe if it's your girlfriend, sure, but this is not even someone you're with in a relationship.
Right.
Tom, I need you to weigh in on this, man.
I don't think it's that crazy
this?
For like a rule set. I don't think it's like
it's
a society
terrible,
thing.
Man. It's terrible, bro. You weren't raised the right way.
Oh, no, I was. How
that
dare
falls
you?
On
We're
your
not
parents.
Going there.
They raised you the wrong
don't
way.
Don't you go
you.
There now.
Tom, what do you fall on this? Am I off?
I think we're going into territories that are making this conversation like expand into many different directions. So I think I'm going to tap out on
no,
this.
No, but come on now. If you're getting married and someone you invited brings a plus one who they don't know and they're not romantically involved, like there's a certain criteria that has to be fulfilled for this plus one. You think it's okay for him to bring this person to the wedding?
I think so, yeah. If this person and Harvey are great friends, then it's perfectly fine.
Ignorance runs in bunches. That's crazy. That there are people right now who are in the midst of planning a wedding because you got, you know, spring season approaching, summer, popular time to get married, listening to this conversation right now, and they are agitated. They are completely turned off by the opinions that you guys have spewed on these airwaves. Terrible. You should be ashamed of yourself, Harvey. It's not too late to back out.
He's answering phone calls right now, so I think we are going to leave that there.
800-919-3776. Spike's in St. Pete. What's up, Spike?
I think I'm listening to a podcast on soap operas here. Boys, don't take any abuse from him. He's been in the bullpen for a while. First of all, happy, healthy Easter. Did you do the Easter egg deal?
We did some Easter baskets. I was in church this morning. Didn't get a chance to hang around for the Easter baskets because I had to come do the show. But yes, that was definitely in rotation this morning.
Okay, let's do a little hoops. First of all, in the Yankees, I do about 10% baseball and the rest of my life's basketball, as you know. But it's three games, and to some extent, Houston's replaced the Red Sox. To some extent, you know.
The biggest rival to the Yankees?
Yeah, to the older generation. It's the current, whatever you call millennials, I guess. But one thing I'm really into is the women's basketball. That's really front and center to me right now. And I'm just fascinated by the game played below the rim. I just love that kind of basketball. And they're a little tougher, too. They seem a little tougher. So I'm looking forward to that in tomorrow night's game. But as far as the hoops go, look, the Garden could be wonderful this spring. I'm not saying it's 94. I don't want to play two teams if I'm in the playoffs. One, I said to you at the beginning of the year, Houston with the coach and with the acquisitions and Brooks and Jalen Green coming into his own, if you're watching, I know you are. He's been putting up 30, 40 points a game.
They've actually been playing well. Shingun got hurt. And Shingun was playing, you know, all-star level basketball. Yeah. And then he gets hurt and the Rockets have been doing really well.
Yeah, I think Sengun is a nephew of Turkoglu or the other guy, Okor, the guy on one of the Turkish players. He's really good. He's tough. But they're real good. They got one of the top. He'll prove to be a top three coach in the NBA in a couple of years. He just went into the wrong room up there and got himself jammed up a little bit. But he's a great coach. He's a great coach. And Brooks has played fantastic this year. And they got Van Fleet. But as far as my Knicks go, OG, I spoke to a mutual friend, Bill, yesterday. He was doing that podcast, The Streets Are Buzzing, and it's on for like 90 minutes. And the linchpin is OG Anunoby. You know, I'm not casting aspersions. I always have to tap out on that and qualify on Randall. But Randall comes back. You'll get the toughness, but you don't know what you're going to get because Bully Ball with that right shoulder, one pop, and it's out. So they probably should have operated. But I'll take OG back. Achua can give you 20 minutes. You're deep in the backcourt. There's five guys coming out of the woodwork having their best years ever. There's no more 50-50 balls with Josh Hart. It's like, you know, 70-30.
Yeah, between him and not just him. Appreciate the call, Speck. Not just Josh Hart, who's giving you just that in his name, Hart, but Dante's on the ground. You know, Jalen Brunson's got that dog in him. This Knicks team is very feisty, very gritty, which is why even though I don't think they can beat Milwaukee or Boston in the playoffs, it's going to be a hell of a fight because the Knicks will make you earn it. You're not going to just walk in there, you know, throw the ball up and run them out the gym. That's not going to happen. They're going to fight and claw. And even if they're at a disadvantage from a talent perspective, they're the inferior team, you are going to leave that gym feeling like, yeah, they gave us the business. Even in a win, they gave us the business. Back sweating, got the calves aching. Everything, you know, physically and emotionally that a team can do to you in a loss, they're going to do that. Brody's in New Jersey, wants to weigh in on this plus one situation. Hot and heavy topic that we stumbled upon. What's up, Brody?
Ty, love the show, man. I'm going to chime in on non-sports today. But listen, I disagree a little bit. I just got married back in November.
Congratulations, man.
Thank you very much. I think the onus is on the inviter. You know, we only gave plus ones to people we knew were in relationships. So if he got a plus one and isn't, he can bring whoever he wants. However, I personally would want to go with a date. That's just me.
Yeah, right? Yo, I appreciate you chiming in, Brody. And congratulations to you and the wife, man. That's awesome. So, Harvey, the responsibility should be on you.
100%. So
let me ask this question. Did you ask for a plus one, or did they just give it to you?
What do you mean?
Whoever's getting married, did they just give you the option of a plus one, or did you ask for one? Did you
no,
say,
they
hey,
gave
I
me
have
the,
a plus
They gave me the option.
Like, how was it presented? They say, do you have anyone you would like to bring to the wedding? And you said yes.
Yeah,
that's a bad job by you.
How's that a bad job
because
by me?
Because you should understand that there's a standard, there's a decorum, like there's a way we operate. As far as, like, you know, weddings go, the rules and the unwritten rules of weddings.
The unwritten rules.
You're not bringing someone who you're not emotionally and romantically involved in or involved with as your plus one to a wedding because they're paying for these plates. It's not a game. This ain't a play thing. This is serious business. This is an intimate setting for people who deserve to be here.
We talked it out.
Come on, Harvey. That's a bad job by you. 800-919-3776. We'll get back to that. Take your phone calls on the Knicks, too. They play tonight against the Thunder. It's a big game, man. This final stretch of games for the Knicks is tough, but it's going to give you a better look at what their ceiling is come playoff time. We'll talk about that coming up next. Right here on 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Ty Butler Show. On 98.7 ESPN.
That Tom guy is very talented. So we got wedding talk on this Easter. It's a season of love, man, because popular wedding seasons are spring, summer. We're going to get back to the sports talk, talking Knicks. But Harvey's doing some nefarious things, man. He's got this girl he's bringing to a wedding, she does not know the people getting married. He's not romantically involved with her, and he still has, like, found it in him to bring her, which I don't think is something he should do. I think it violates the wedding conduct. I think it violates the rules of engagement. But he disagrees. And Harvey, you said someone just called up.
Someone called in, and he didn't want to be on the air, which kind of says something about him. But he says that.
Take a shot to the callers. I love it.
I'm getting crazy right now. He just says that,
It's the lack of cars, man.
He says that if the person that you're inviting is important enough to you to take, and I'm guessing he's talking about you, is not paying, then mind your business.
Oh, that's sad that he was had that energy off the air, but didn't have the, the onions to come on the air and say it to me. So my question to you is, are you paying? Because you're going to obviously, you know, give some money. Are you paying for your friend?
Absolutely. Yep.
So I'm in my mind trying to figure out if I want to go down this route. Because it's dangerous. So you are paying for the plate. Right?
Yes, yep.
You're not, at the end of the night, going to get any involvement with the person.
This is getting dangerous already.
Yeah. If you know, you know. Harvey, that's a big L for you.
It's Easter.
3776. I don't want people out here canceling me, but you know, you know. Harvey's, congratulations. You played yourself. Jose's in Brooklyn. What's up, Jose?
G- good afternoon, Ty. Shout out to the company. Hello to Harvey and Tom. You know, first off, I just wanted to say big props up to you. You know, we haven't heard you in a while, and, you know, we definitely do miss you on the airwaves. And, you know, we like you because you're relatable. You know, relate to a lot of the younger crowd, and you bring up, you know, a lot of current event issues because, you know, I was, you know, the main reason for the call, even though I do, you know, agree with you with your Yankee take, it is, you know, okay to be happy and still have some reservations and still have some concerns, because last year was a gut punch where we kind of pretty much got humbled. And if it wasn't for the kids and Aaron Judge having, you know, their spurts here and there, we would have been looking at a losing season and possibly pretty much an all-time bad season with the way it was going. But main reason I called, you know, is because We had Bart was going crazy over the week, and we're going to be talking about you were talking about it earlier with the Drake and the Kendrick Lamar. I wanted to hear your thoughts on it because, you know, I thought it was fantastic. I think that, you know, I was getting a little kind of tired of the, you know, what I call the AAU version of, you know, today's hip hop game, where everybody came up to the mixtape and the Dat Piff era and, you know, everyone knowing each other through the SoundCloud and everything, and not kind of going at each other. And I was just like, for me, as a person that grew up, you know, with all the rap battles that I've witnessed, like, you know, this is part of, you know, rap and, you know, people colliding with each other. This is something that's supposed to happen. And I love it when Kendrick Lamar goes out there and says, you know, my tendency is to always choose violence. Like, come on, man. This is awesome.
It's good. And people, like, so there are some parallels, and I appreciate the call, Jose. As you're saying that, there are some parallels between sports and entertainment and hip hop, right? Like, the knock on sports for a lot of the older generation is everyone's too buddy-buddy. Back in my day, MJ wasn't taking pictures with Larry Bird. Of course he did take pictures with Larry Bird, but the older generation likes to pretend that it was all at every moment of the day. It was always like that type of energy, that competitive fire. So when you see LeBron buddy up with Draymond and you see KD joining the Warriors, like, that is the antithesis of what you came to love about sports, because it goes against everything that we love about competition. And that same thing is happening in hip hop, where now, you know, people my age are pretending that the fabric of the genre isn't largely, you know, built upon competition at the highest levels. We've seen beef happen before, and that's good. So when you get the three greatest of our generation with Kendrick, J. Cole, and Drake involved in some controversy meaning like some beef, I think that's good. It's healthy. It's entertainment, because you get to use your creative pen and hone your craft in a way that you are challenging the people on the mantle that we've all put on, you know, on there, on that pedestal with you, while also exercising your right to defend who you are in this game and doing it in a way that's enticing to the audience. But as much as I love Drake, his fans sometimes are just so damn sensitive, and they mirror Drake's sensitivity, where the slightest bit of critique or someone going at him, it's viewed upon as, oh, you're a hater. No, I'm not a hater. I just love good music. I just love the competitive nature of people going at each other. And I think it's part of what, and the reverse happened, though, in women's rap. I love women's rap. But I think with Cardi, Meg, and Nicki, like, the problem is, yo, Hot Girl Summer rings off. Imagine Cardi's vocals on Hot Girl Summer. Like, we should have got more records with them together. We should have got more collabs with them together, but now they're all beefing, which is like, you don't want it to be totally like that where we can't get good music from it. But yeah, man, those are just my thoughts. Let's go to Rashad in the Bronx. What's up, Rashad?
Hey,
Hey, Rashad, what's going on, bro?
Hey, Ty. Yeah. Good afternoon. All right. So I want to make a couple points, but real quickly, yeah, you are correct about is a competition and beef in sports is okay, but friends, they're, because two athletes are best friends, it doesn't mean they're not going to compete on the court.
Exactly.
I mean, I don't remember the last time I had a friend that when we were on the court, oh, I went easy on him. I go even extra hard against my friends because I'm about to hear about it afterwards.
Absolutely. I think, so I brought up, I'm going to let you finish your call. I brought up the Draymond LeBron thing. I think now that I'm thinking about it, it's not the best example. What bothers me about that relationship, and they can do what they want, they're grown-ass men, but what bothers me about that relationship is, yo, Draymond, man, you lost the finals because of your own, like, idiocy to LeBron, and now y'all are best friends? Like, I don't know if I love that. But go ahead, continue your phone call.
Yeah, and so I got another 2 points. So my next one is about Harvey. I'm at the side. I agree with you. Going to a wedding, to me, that's a date. That's a date. I don't care what anybody says.
Facts.
If it could be your best friend. Look, a man and a girl, that's a date, in my opinion. Y'all going to a wedding. I'm sure you both going to dress nice because it's a wedding. So
y'all going to get nice. Y'all going to take pictures. Y'all might hold hands a little bit when, you know, y'all might dance together on the dance floor during some emotional music. Yeah, that's a date, bro.
That's a date. That's a date. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And also my next point. So RJ Hartenstein, he's definitely better than Mitchell Robinson. Definitely better. The drop off on what Mitchell Robinson gives you is not that much from what Hartenstein gives you on the defensive end, the rebounding. But Hartenstein is just miles better than Robinson. He has way better hands. He has better IQ on the offensive end. He's a better passer. He can actually make free throws, so you can play him late in games, unlike Mitchell Robinson. And that's just my point.
Look, Rashad, that's a popular opinion. Appreciate the call. I don't know that I necessarily agree with, like, all things being created equal. Isaiah Hartenstein is, like, miles better than Mitchell Robinson because Mitchell Robinson has tremendous value. His ability to anchor a defense in a way that is so impactful where it can change not just a game but the entire tenor of a playoff series. Like, we saw his activity last year just completely stymie the Cavs. Evan Mobley and Jared Allen were on lock because of Mitchell Robinson's presence. So he is a game and a series changer. His issue is, as you said, he's got bad hands, so some of the lob action at the rim, he's not converting, can't really shoot free throws well. He's not the passer Hartenstein is. And most importantly, he can't stay on the floor. Or even on Friday night, he's limping. So Hartenstein just comes across as more polished all around than Mitchell Robinson. So, like, if a Knicks fan says, I'd rather have him than Mitchell, then I understand that. I just don't agree with, like, us diminishing the impact that Mitchell Robinson has had. Because I still think he can be, like, in his role, a phenomenal player, like, in his role, not like one of the best in the league we have, but like fitting that role for this team, I think he can be very, very impactful. 800-919-3776. Want to get more into the basketball talk? We got the Yankees first pitch at 2:05 coming up. We got the Mets first pitch minutes away coming up against the Brewers. Yankees, Astros, game 4 of that series. Yankees going for a sweep. Mets looking to get on the board in this series, avoiding a sweep at the hands of the Milwaukee Brewers. So we'll touch on that. Still, I got to talk some football. I'll give you a little bit more basketball. And, of course, we've got the women's game right now in action. South Carolina up 23-16 on Oregon State tonight. We will see Texas and NC State. So a whole lot to do marching toward 3 o'clock right here on 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Ty Butler Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Got a little Black Moon on the show, huh? This ain't the original version to Buck Him Down. But we're going to let time, you're going to let time rock out. You a hip-hop fan, Tom?
Stop.
That means no. Just say no.
No, listen.
Just say no. You don't.
Okay, that was a terrible. Okay, that was a terrible reaction. I am a fan, but I'm not as big a fan as I used to be. Like I was in high school. How about that?
So, who you liked in high school?
Favorites are probably Drake, Lil Wayne, Kendrick Lamar, Eminem. Definitely is probably my like favorite rapper of all time.
Okay.
Lil Jay-Z thrown in there. Not a lot of Biggie Smalls, but I respect him a lot.
I like this list, though. This is good. We could have conversations. Now, I saw Weezy, I think was on tour last night with Drake, because Drake's doing his tour with J. Cole, but you know, Weezy might have made an appearance. I think I saw that correctly. Tom, I do have a bone to pick with you.
With me?
Yeah, so first and foremost, just because I'm a nice guy and I am someone who likes to plant seeds into other people's ministries, give your podcast a shout out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. My podcast is The Diamond Duo Podcast, which I run with my great college friend, Tony. And I just talking about baseball and like everything that happens around Major League Baseball. We just love to talk about it. We ran the show back at Hofstra's radio station, WRHU, called The Batter's Box. Absolutely. Shout out Aaron Estrada, too, on Alabama. He was a Hofstra transfer who went to Alabama this past year. Now they're in the Final Four.
There we go.
So, yeah, we were just kind of taking that inspiration from college, and we have a platform now, so we're using it.
So now where can we find said podcast?
You can use it on Spotify, and Apple Podcasts is going to be your best spot to find it.
All right, and you know, if we're looking for it on your social media account, we can head to your Twitter page, Tom, right? Like, what's the Twitter handle? I don't have it off the top of my head. You got mad numbers and letters, like weird things going on. We're going to have to clean that up.
Well,
what's your Twitter handle?
Okay, well, there's three numbers. It's at TommyB369.
Yeah,
that's where you can
much.
Find me.
It's too much. Follow me on Twitter at TommyB369. Nah, it's just not rolling off the tongue correctly. We need to clean that up a little bit. We're going to have this podcast ring off the way that it should, because it's a good podcast. I hope you guys talked about opening day. We had game lengths of 2 hours and 3 minutes, 2 hours, 23 minutes, and 229. Even Yankees Astros, that saw an abundance of base runners and pitching changes, ended up only being 2 hours and 41 minutes, which is just a tad bit higher than an NBA game. I felt like I missed some action. I was trying to put clothes away, folding the laundry, which I hate, by the way. I don't understand how I've allowed my wife to get away with, you know, me doing the laundry and putting clothes away, but that's a conversation.
Oh, come
we're
on,
have
man. And you're giving me
Easter.
A hard time over wedding
yeah,
rules?
We're going to have a conversation post-Easter that I don't want to, you know, have today, ruin the holidays. But so I'm going to the room back and forth, and I'm missing things. The pace of play has just sped up so much. I don't know if this is necessarily going to grasp casual fans and those who really aren't interested in baseball as the sport struggles with its ratings. But I will say the rule changes are working. So as much as we like to eviscerate Robert Manfred, because it's like an easy thing to do, it's a layup, he deserves credit for the implementation of these rules that has led to baseball being sped up. He also weighed in on the Ohtani investigation. And he did say baseball was going to do its best to investigate what's going on and hopefully have it happen quickly. I found it so hilarious. All the people overreacting to the initial comments that was, yeah, we're not going to investigate. Did you really think baseball was going to allow one of the biggest controversies we've seen in quite some time to unfold and them not investigate him? Of course they were going to do that. People love overreacting. They were not going to have the face of the sport be involved in what could be a gambling scandal and just look the other way. Now, are they rooting for him to be innocent? Him to be found of no wrongdoing? Of course. But they're going to, you know, perform their due diligence, and whatever they find, he is going to be either issued a punishment for his involvement or have his name cleared. But I do wonder if because of all of this, because of, you know, Ohtani, the fact that he doesn't talk to anybody, it's hard to market a guy who doesn't talk to anybody. That's my issue with Ohtani. It goes back to this summer, or this, I should say, this past winter with the Ohtani sweepstakes. Like, you're the face of the sport and you don't have an obligation to do this, but it would be nice to help market the brand. It would be nice to have us all as baseball and sports fans bask in the Ohtani sweepstakes. And though people want to call it selfish, it's great as a marketing tool. To not have you know, tell teams if you say that you're meeting with me, you're gonna be removed from our list. Cut it out. That's so corny, man. It would be great if we could have followed this thing day in and day out. Well, he met with the Dodgers, and he met with the Angels, and he met with the Mets, and he met with the Yankees. For us to, like, draw this thing out to build the interest, to build the intrigue, to captivate the audience. But instead, he did that corny thing as, you know, Kawhi Leonard did this in the NBA after the 2019 championship. If you guys say that we met, you're not going to be viewed as an option. You're no longer in the running. Like, come on now. That's like, I get having some privacy, but sometimes be selfish in your selflessness. Because you're a star, one of the faces of the sport, milk it. Let us do the whole pomp and circumstance. Let's do that. And now he's just like, he never talks. He never, ever talks. And I do wonder if the face of baseball, Shohei Ohtani, is becoming unlikable to some people because of this controversy. And people are like, man, ain't no way in hell this dude swindled you out of $4.5 million and you didn't know about it. When y'all was keying and laughing in the dugout an hour prior to the announcing that he was fired. Come on now. I was born on a day it was not yesterday. So is this ringing off on your podcast, Tom?
Yeah, that was something that we discussed the last time. It's just we kind of like had the general like news that was had been released. We hadn't gotten a lot of details yet at that point. So it was all speculation at that point. But yeah, going through both sides and whether or not it's like Shohei's going to completely wash over it or what happens if Shohei is found guilty of betting in any way, shape or form on the sport of baseball, what the ramifications would be.
So I came across this headline courtesy of the Associated Press. Shohei Ohtani fails miserably in his first big Dodgers moment in the 10-inning loss to the Cardinals. Because well, what happened, if for those who didn't watch the game, Paul Goldschmidt drives in that go-ahead run in the 10th inning after Mookie Betts had homered to help the Dodgers tie it in the 9th. Cardinals end up winning the game 6-5 because Shohei Ohtani popped up with the bases loaded for the final out. So, I mean, he like the magnifying glass is on him because he is the best player arguably in baseball, because he's one of the faces of the sport, because he just signed a gazillion dollar contract. But now we're going to be watching as the details continue to emerge from this scandal. And when I read a headline that he fails miserably, I wonder if there is some segment of the baseball viewing fan base that is now rooting against this guy because he's involved in some shadiness. I wonder.
Yeah, and who called, like, you pop up once, and that's an epic failure.
An epic fail miserably, right?
Come on like, now. Whoever wrote that article needs to take that back. Come on now.
So here's why I'm annoyed with you.
With me?
Yes.
Okay.
You got this podcast, right?
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm not someone who's, like, self-aggrandizing, but what I will say is I don't know, maybe I'm just off on this. We've developed a little bit of an on-air rapport, a little bit of a chemistry. We worked together. I was a producer. We had some shifts together. We were at SiriusXM.
Absolutely.
When you were interning over there, and now you've been producing a lot of my shows, I would figure that at some point the old text message comes in, and it's Tom saying, Ty, I want you to pop on the podcast, spit some knowledge for our listeners. And I haven't gotten that text yet.
I will say we don't usually bring on guests, and I will tell you why.
Why is that?
Because our recordings, because our work schedules are completely different. My friend works a normal, like, 9-to-5 job. My jobs take me, like, I don't get home until, like, sometimes 9 o'clock at night. So, like, usually we'll record maybe at, like, 10:30 p.m. on a Monday night. So it's very difficult for scheduling, so that's like a main reason.
All you had to say was we feel like we're too good for guests. Like, our listeners to our podcast aren't tuning in for guest opinions. They are tuning in to hear what we have to say.
What he's saying is that it's not in the budget. He's sorry.
No, he's saying that his opinion is superior to anyone else's opinion.
I never said anything of the sort.
So you know, Jeff Passan's got nothing on, what's your homeboy's name, John? Tony?
No, Tony. Tony, yeah.
Jeff Passan's got nothing on Tony's takes. I mean, Buster only, go kick rocks, because what Tony has to say is way better than anything that you can analyze as far as, you know, the baseball season and opening weekend. That's what you're telling us.
If you want an open invitation on the podcast, if that's what you're trying to vouch for,
I want to be on the podcast.
Then we'll have to work out a time and place that we can do it.
I
absolutely
got some takes I got to get off my chest. You know, baseball season just started. Still got 159 games left, give or take for some teams. But I got some things I got to get off my chest.
And
so can we arrange that?
Yeah, we can arrange that. Again, we'll have to work out the time and place, but I think we
Let's
can
do it.
I think we can make an exception.
So quote the great Stephen A. Smith, name the time and the place, I'll show up. 800-919-3776 as we take a quick break right here on 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Ty Butler Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Let's kick it. Let's kick it with a tournament update. Let's do that. Driven by Nissan. Yesterday in the men's tournament, the defending champs UConn, how about this, went on a 30-0 run to beat Illinois, 77-52, which is just embarrassing. I don't care how much better the other team is than you. In a postseason game, you should not allow them to go on a 30-0 run. But that's what happened as they get past Illinois to reach the Final Four. And in Alabama doing the same, advancing to their first ever Final Four by defeating ACC's Clemson, 89-82. So that should be a fun one as both those teams arrive next weekend with a chance to get to the national championship game. And then, of course, you know, Duke wins, yes, a couple of days ago. So they've got NC State tonight. And then you have men's game between Purdue and Tennessee. The women are in action right now. They're in a replay. I just had the score. But now it's not on my screen anymore because they are looking at a foul being called. And as I'm trying to milk this so the score can show back up, it's not happening. South Carolina up 37-30 on Oregon State. The women's tournament wrapped up their Sweet 16 yesterday. LSU and Iowa advancing to set up a rematch of last year's title game. You got USC and UConn also squaring off in the Elite Eight. That was the tournament update driven by Nissan, coming at you with all of the excitement of a Hollywood blockbuster at the Nissan Thrill of the Drive sales event. Shop impressive savings at NissanUSA.com. On the NBA, if you ask me Celtics or the field, give me the field. I don't trust Boston. I understand that the metrics say this is the best team we've seen since the 2017 Warriors that had won 73 games and then added Kevin Durant and just kind of walked their way to a title. I just don't think that the late game execution fears have been exercised. They are really good at blowing teams out. They are a phenomenal basketball team with high-end talent led by Tatum and Jaylen Brown, who's having Jaylen's having an awesome season, gets overshadowed a little bit because he's not viewed as the best player on his team. But this is not the year where you can question whether or not Jaylen Brown deserved that $300 million contract extension he got. Jrue Holiday, lockdown defender, game changer. Chris Stapps, for the most part, you know, stayed healthy. He's missed some games, but he's been a mainstay there. Derek White, big shot after big shot in his defense. I love everything about, like, the roster. I just don't trust that late game situations, they figured it out. Tatum's numbers in the crunch time are not good. We saw it play out this past week in back-to-back losses to Atlanta. So my pick to win the Eastern Conference is Milwaukee. And it's not because I think Milwaukee's a better team. I just think in crunch time, I trust Giannis, Dame, and Middleton over the Celtics, what they have to offer. Hour number three coming up next right here on 98.7 ESPN.